I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, just I just stopped and then started it again.
Oh, yeah, and it's recording.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. Chapter 2, Galatians. Chapter 3, I'm sorry.
I ain't remembering my Bible. I'm just going to let
That's work. That'll be fine. Last week we left off in chapter 3, verse... We covered verses down to... 18? Okay, we went down to verse 18. Okay. But we did, just to recap for to get a better understanding, sometimes it helps. I was coming over thinking of the purpose of the book of Galatians again when Paul writes the book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatians. He's reminding them how they got it, how they got righteous, how they got righteousness. But I thought about the Paul's writing to believers, and these letters are God's. These are God's letters to the body of Christ today, right? And they're written for to teach us something. That's something that we can apply to our lives, and. What this does, it reminds them and us of their purpose. You know, when you get saved, what do you think you get saved for?
A purpose.
You get saved for a purpose, not our purpose. When we get saved, and you never think about that, the reason that salvation is free is because what God does is He just wants a body. He doesn't want your intelligence. He doesn't want your charisma. He just wants a body that He can use. And what He does is He takes you and then He unloads. He wants you to unload all your wisdom. You remember what Paul said? He says, everything that I got, I'm paraphrasing this. What did he say?
Dung.
He counted as what?
Dung.
That's the,
and we know what that is. Though.
And we know what that is. And but he had a lot to offer, didn't he? Worldly speaking, mm-hmm. But when it came to God, and we found out a few lessons back, the farther he went in his religion, the farther away he went from God. But he was, as far as his peers, he said, they couldn't touch me. Like MC Hammer, can't touch this. They couldn't touch him. He was that far ahead of his peers in zeal, right? Mm-hmm. But we know what Scripture says about zeal, right? We can have a zeal of God, but what?
Not according to
knowledge. So what God does, He wants to use us, and all He needs is a willing sacrifice.
Willing soul.
A sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And what he wants to do is use us. When God called Abraham, anybody know what Abraham did before God called him?
You mean occupationally?
Occupation or what? How he spent his time.
Count his blessings.
No. He was
an idol worshiper. What could God do with him? You know, I often think about it. He's in his hut, and he's got his little idols lined up, and he's paying homage to them. You know, some he whittled out, maybe some he found. And then he's, you know, this is the God of whatever, and this is the God of this. And he's happy and content. And all of a sudden he hears, this is all speculation, yeah. And all of a sudden he hears Abram. Well, he's looking to see which one it was. And he's like, none of those. None of those you made. This is the true and living God. And he says, get up. out of this mess because I want to do something with you that they can't do. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. That's why the scripture said he did what?
Followed.
He left.
He ran.
He got up and he went. But the reason that he called him out to do something. Do you know what he called out to do? Called him out to do?
To
make a
name.
Or the nation. A great nation. Yeah. But that nation would be what? That nation would go on to become
Jewish.
The nation, right, the nation of
Israel.
Right, nation of Israel. But what were they to do?
They would become the preachers of the, they were to go out and teach his word to everybody.
To the nations.
To the nations.
But a little more than that.
Okay.
They were to be a chance. They were to lead. They were supposed to be the go-between the nations to bring them to God.
Right.
That's what you're looking for.
Right. All right. Let me hold your hand in Galatians. I'm just, what I want to do is before we really get in, is to give you a background because I want you to see what. Why God does these things.
That's
going
to be a good one.
That's going to be a good one. Well, the reasons why he chose.
That's the reason I'm here.
Why he chose Abram, right? And why he chose the Galatians. Or not chosen, but why he wants to use us. Because if you don't know why he wants to use us, you don't know what the purpose of the letter was, what the letters are, then they really don't have that much weight. Matthew, just hold your hand in Galatians. Just look at Matthew real quick here. I'm gonna try to pry it out of you.
Why are you looking at me?
I was actually looking at Steve.
Oh, okay.
Matthew what?
28. All right, this is after Christ is crucified, he's buried, he's resurrected. He appears to the 11, he appears to them, and he, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, what?
All authority has been given to me.
All right. Now somebody read the.
All
power has been what?
Given unto me.
In what?
In heaven and earth.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. So he resurrects, he gets them to the side, and he says, all power, authority, all is now where?
With him.
Where was it before that?
It was with him.
With Satan.
It was with Satan.
Oh.
Now, the question again is, when he calls Abraham, there's no nation without Abraham, right? There's no Jews without the 12 tribes. There's no 12 tribes without Jacob. There's no 12 tribes without Isaac. There's no 12 tribes without Abraham. So God pulls Abraham. And without the 12 tribes, there's no Jesus.
Okay.
So there's no Jesus. And he says, there's nobody that can say what? Without Jesus, there's nobody that can say that all power is what? Okay, so I'm just going around the block because I want you to think about this. Why did he call Abraham?
for the seed to come, the promise of the seed was to come from him.
When he called Abraham, he says, I want to show you what? Not just how many people you can have, how many blessings you can be, but I want you to see that this is your what? Your what?
Inheritance.
That's a good one.
So when you what do you think of when you hear the word inheritance?
Future blessings.
What do you think of when you think of that? Oh, you said blessings?
Future blessings.
Right. We know that's part of it. Looking for a key word though.
Land.
Right. Land. Didn't he say, see that? Look this way, that way, that way.
Told him to go walk it off.
All of it is what?
Yours.
And your?
And your seed.
And I'll bless you and give you that. Right? Now we call it what?
We call it money.
Greed. Excuse me.
You see that?
Thanks.
My grandma always passed away. Everybody's worried about her inheritance. That's what they're going to get. I mean, all right, I'm back on your track.
Okay. That's, we might use. So, he calls Abraham and he says, I'm going to use you for the blessings, the land, the kingdom, right? For the inheritance. It's for you. Right? And your seed. And we're going to find out. He said, not seed as many, but seed as one, meaning Christ. So when he calls him, he has to, number one, he has to qualify Abraham to be a benefactor of the inheritance. And how does a man get qualified for the inheritance? So we spent a long time about last week about this. This year should be no problem.
Yeah, to be a saint.
Believe.
What? Yeah. Faith. Right. Faith. Did he have it? He sure did. And that's why God says, you got it. You have faith in what I promised. He said, that makes you. Well, that ain't right. I can't. Right. That makes you an heir. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's an heir? Yeah.
Those are the people that's fighting over your grandmother's stuff.
All right. All right. I'll keep that in mind tomorrow.
All right. All right. So, now, back to Galatians. Well, where Christ resurrects, he says, all power is in my hand, right? When he came, when Christ came, before he came, John the Baptist said what? He came in, he says, the what? He says, this is to the people who should have been the heirs. Who were they? The Jews. They should have been the heirs. But the problem was, they lacked the qualifications to be an heir. Faith. It wasn't just because you were a Jew.
They lacked faith.
They lacked faith. That's why John, he comes and he says, repent, for the inheritance is what?
It's at hand.
It's at hand. Do you want a part? You want to be a part of it? He says, you got to have this. But they didn't. So they crucified, but part of it is they had to crucify the Lord. Because what the Lord has to do is he has to die in order to qualify people to be heirs.
Yeah, I'm lost on that one.
Okay. Because, put it this way. Say you want to build a cabin.
Yeah.
All right. And you go out and you got to have straight wood, right? 2x4s.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just go out and you just cut the tree down.
Yeah.
And you know it's not true, right? There's no way you can make it anything level because it's not true, right? No. What has to be done?
I make it level.
You have to make it level.
Yeah.
So that's what God does is he wants to build an inheritance.
I got my faith. But that.
Well, hang with me here. So just like you have to get your wood into shape, God had to get these people into shape.
Oh, I got you.
And the only way he can do it, they had a problem. That's sin. That's what we have. And so he has to die to qualify them to be heirs.
I got you on that point.
Because back to the law, you can't be an heir through your own efforts. The works of the law, the works of the law cursed you. The works of the law. Look at Galatians. I'm saying this. Say it again. Ministration of death, right.
That's a good one.
So, verse 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, listen. He says, he hung on a tree to be a curse for us, right? The next verse, he says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He hung on a tree that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Comma or semicolon. That we might receive the what? Promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the heir, being an heir, being righteous. I didn't put that up there, but being righteous. Having the blessings. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, we're going to go back and pick this up too, and the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Here we go. For if the what?
Inheritance
be what?
The law.
Of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by what?
Promise.
So we back up here again. He says the reason Abraham got it was by what?
Faith.
God promised it to him just because of his faith. He said, but if you can get this through the law, and we just saw that you what? You can't get it by the law. Now, you say, well, and we're not looking for land, are we? No. We're on our way where? But why is Paul using this information? Did you know, I know you know, that Abraham had a dual parentage? You know what a dual parentage is? That's like we say he had
like he dual was exhaust.
Like dual exhaust. he was the father to the Jews, and he's father to who?
The Arabs.
To the Gentiles. Okay. Thank you. To the they're Gentiles.
Yeah.
But that's everybody else. See, the Jews, they said, we have Abraham for our father. They only thought what? It was just them. And he says, no.
Didn't you tell me before, Frank, that Gentiles were Jews?
I said Gentiles were not Jews.
Not Jews, okay.
Right. Everybody else other than the Jew, that's Gentile. But do you remember that? That Abraham was the father? He's the father of faith. What came first, faith or circumcision?
Faith.
So Abraham was justified as a what?
As a Gentile.
Before he became what? A circumcised man. So he could be here. That's what Paul reaches back here. He says, just like he got his inheritance by
faith.
That's how you get it. By what?
Faith.
Faith. Now, back here, he's talking about a land. But we're still part of an inheritance. Because who does it belong to?
Jesus.
Who? Well, that's
one and only.
He only has one aim. Long time ago, when we were back going through the Old Testament, Satan made a statement. Do you remember what he said?
I will.
Huh? Who?
Sorry. What?
Close. Real close. He says, I will be like
the most high possessor of heaven and earth.
That's, did he get it?
Yes.
Did he? He got it, didn't he? Yeah.
Not of heaven.
Yeah.
Not the third heaven.
That's, well, right, not the throne room where God is.
Okay, I was about to leave.
Yeah. I would tackle you before you get out of there. No, but see, that's what Cindy just said. She's, no. That's what people, look at Ephesians. Ephesians, hold your hand there, Galatians, look at Ephesians. Matter of fact, look at Ephesians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians. Matter of fact, since Corinthians is first, look at 2 Corinthians first.
How old is your Bible?
Chapter.
100 years old.
Yeah, it's old, Mike. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to wait a minute.
You got a brand new with Mike anymore.
All right. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians 4? Now. We'll start at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, who's the God of this world?
Satan.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know that?
I don't.
Because it says that. But Ed just quoted the verse when he met Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took the Lord to the mountain and said what? He said, Jerusalem is mine. He didn't stop there, did he? He said what? How many? All of them. So he's the possessor right there of what? He just said right there, the scripture said, that he's the what? God of this world. Little g. Okay? Okay? Now.
Well, is
he? Yeah, he is.
Right, well,
okay.
See, that's a quick question.
No, not really. How did he get it?
When Adam gave it up.
Okay. So what we've been coming down through history is waiting for the rightful king to come. But nobody was qualified. Do you know why?
They didn't have any faith.
Well, not just... they didn't have the righteousness that God required You can't sit on the throne and be what?
Unclean.
You can't. So they go through, and what God is doing is just funneling down until the seed came. The one. And really is who?
Jesus Christ.
It's him. It's God himself. Who's qualified for this but me? You know,
thank you, God.
No, not me, but like, you know, Heavy D, you don't know Heavy
D.
He had a song, he says, it takes what I got, and I got what it takes. And that's what God is.
He can do it too.
He says, I can do this. It has to be me. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, keep the same book. Look over to chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in
high places.
That's the same thing, right? So Paul is telling us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Same thing with he controls that. He has a majority control in the heavenlies.
Sadly,
yes. But
temporarily.
Okay. Sadly and temporarily. And Paul said, we don't wrestle against what?
Flesh.
But against?
You don't wrestle against what?
How does that work? When was the last time you knew that you were wrestling against a spiritual principality? Some of us don't even know that we were in a wrestling match with the principalities.
What is a principality?
What is a principality? It's a heavenly position of rulership. You see what? That's why. That's over where? That's in where? What book? What book is that in? I just read that. What book did we just read that? It's in Ephesians. Does he mention anything about principalities and powers in to the Galatians? No. Why? I wonder why not.
I don't know. You have to tell me.
They're not ready. They're not ready for that. The Galatians weren't. Because
they're still trying to turn back to the beggarly elements.
Right, right. See, that's what I'm talking about, the body of information. This is systematic. When Paul's writing this and the way it's assembled together, is for our, we can see that it was for their benefit, but it's for our benefit too. Because what he does first is he qualifies you. You believer? Good.
Right.
Come on in. Now becomes the training process. I have to educate you now.
Which is why he was a master builder.
Which is why master builder. Paul says things like that over and over again. Look at Romans 8, and I'm going to show you when it starts off. His first epistle, right? Romans. Okay.
Wait, no, I'm sitting there. Educate me. Thanks.
Now, you know what? Thank you, Mike.
No, I didn't mean to.
No. Don't let me go on if you got something in your mind, because I don't want you to leave here. It's like, I didn't get it. I don't understand. Romans 8.
Okay, I got something in mind.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
It's in Ephesians 6 where the question that you kind of brought up is that do we even know if we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places? Yeah, and I mean, I know every time I am wrestling with anger or fear or any other kind of thing that takes me away from faith in God and being completely secure in Him and gets me in a fleshly mood, fighting that way, I know that wickedness in spiritual places has entered in a sense, or has tempted me in that method. And so then the wrestling is, and I've had this happen recently, and so the wrestling then is, Lord, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be hurt. I want to get past this and get back to just loving you and having joy and being in your word. And that's why it's wrestling, because that's what I'm trying to get back to. But the wickedness in spiritual places has caused something to happen that's got me upset or whatever it is that gets me into that frame. So.
Or something.
Okay.
Like confusion of right and wrong, and you want to lean towards the wrong. And you know it's wrong, which is basically the same thing as what
you're trying to wrestle towards right. Yes.
Yeah. That's your wrestling match, right?
Yeah.
There.
That's a little bit of it, but you do that with no principality involved.
Right.
That's called flesh. But what would you want to add something, Angela?
And that was my question too about the spiritual forces of evil. What is that?
All right. Now, think about this. Let's go back to Ephesians for a second, and then we're going to skip back to... this is what he says. Okay. Look at chapter 3.
Okay.
Now, this goes back again to the information. What the information is, it's the gospel. It's Paul's gospel. What it does, it's kind of like, this is level one. Then it goes up. And then it goes up. And then it goes up. It's kind of like, okay, he's in middle school or elementary. Then he goes to middle school. Then he goes to high school. Then he goes to college. Then he's a PhD. And then whatever's, you know, you're in your specialization. Same way with this. Now, watch Ephesians 3. He says, verse 6. We'll start at verse 6. Verse 5. Okay, verse 4. That's it. That's it. He says, wherefore, you know, I got to go back then. Verse 1.
Okay.
I'm sorry, verse 1. Because I don't want to disconnect it. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now, let me ask you this. What did he tell the Galatians when he had to defend his apostleship? What did he tell them?
He got it by revelation.
He got it by what?
Yeah.
What did he get?
The mystery.
He got the mystery. But he didn't tell them about this.
No.
Remember we were talking about as he went along, he got more and more revelation?
Yeah.
Okay. He says, verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
So Christ was a mystery?
No, but the mystery of Christ is this. Well, not going to say it's this because it's not this. But most people think, even we do. We every year it shows how much we know about them because we do what? What do? Put them in the manger. Put it wrong, don't we?
Yeah.
We put them in the manger and say, sweet little Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
That's not the mystery of Christ. You know who does know the mystery of Christ?
The devil.
Who?
The devil.
And who else?
His angels.
The
principalities and powers.
Yeah, those guys. They know.
Who you saying?
And guess who? What they don't? Guess who they don't want to know?
Us.
And guess who don't know?
Us.
Doesn't know.
All of us.
Now, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, where? Might be known by the church. The what?
Manifold wisdom
of God. Now see, we just read that, and I say this with all charity, you still don't know what I'm talking about. Am I right?
I don't.
Thank you. But it's okay. That's why we in Galatians. But that's what Paul's saying. If you have heard, we never heard. Most of us, we've never heard. So when you do hear it, you say, what is he talking about? But he says, I tell you what, go back to Romans. Go back to Romans. Go back to Romans. 8. Go back to Romans.
Eight.
And what he does, he goes right back to the basics. He says, now, just like the wood, he says, I just cut you down, right? The tree, you know. He says, now I want to shape you so I can use you. So he starts dealing with, number one, your sin problem in chapter 6. Number two, your relationship to the law in chapter 7, right? He gets those main obstacles out of the way. Right? How do you think God can use you if you struggle every day with whether you're even saved or not because you sin? Mm-hmm. You can't.
I ain't figured that out.
Good point.
He cannot. You cannot be. Look, when Paul in Ephesians, he says this. He says, when you're wrestling, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Remember when David went out and Saul said, take mine. Take my armor. What did he say? I can't use that. I haven't what? I haven't proved him. But he did take his slingshot. He was familiar with that, wasn't he? And 5 smooth stones.
I heard about that when I was a kid in Sunday school.
Yeah.
Slingshot.
But the same thing. He said, I can't take your armor. So when the Lord says put on the whole armor of God, it's him. It's his provision. He says that you may be able to what?
Stand
against the yeah. Not your armor. His armor. Now where were we?
Romans
8. Oh, right. 8. Okay. All right. And then he shows you the law. You can't get it through the law, the hang up with the law. And then he goes into chapter 8 and he says, this is how you become victorious, is to find out your relationship to the Spirit. The moment you believe, he says, I'm in there. In here. I'm in here. Do you know that? Do you know when you says, I believe that Christ died for me, that he was buried, that he rose again? Do you know he's in there? Mm-hmm. For how long?
Forever.
Wonder why he's in there.
Shape.
Work. The what?
Shape.
To shape you right, to work with you. You know what? He's the one that gives the, that takes that information off the pages into your hearts and minds to transform us. He doesn't leave it up to you.
Yeah.
We would never, do it. It's, you know what? It's like you have your built-in, well, you do, your built-in teacher and your built-in enabler, your built-in empowerer. He said, and he's right there at your disposal. At your disposal. That means I'm not going to make you use him.
You got that right.
And he's in there to stay. And where you go,
he goes.
What you say,
he hears.
What you watch,
he sees.
Whether you use him
what
or
you
not.
Do,
mm-hmm. Whether you use him or not.
Whether you use him or not.
If he's with you.
That's why he says in Ephesians, he says, don't grieve him.
Oh.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. You know what grieve means, don't you?
Grieve.
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 Yeah.
Grieve.
I think I do. You may explain it differently than I know.
I'll tell you what grieve means. We just went to a funeral. My wife's aunt just passed, and her son, well, we were sitting in the in the row there, and they began talking about her, you know, type of person she was, and everybody was remembering her, and you know how it's really quiet in funerals, you know, and all of a sudden, he just lost control. He began to grieve uncontrollably. So somebody had to go and console him. So God says, don't grieve what? The Holy Spirit. Ooh, that's rough. He said, you can make him grieve uncontrollably. Well, you can make him grieve by what we do. The actions.
Frank, I was always told, I don't want to be rude, but I was told, when a baby comes in the world, cry. Because they got a miserable life to live. But when they die, somebody dies, be happy.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is. I've had preachers tell me this and everything.
Well, I mean, that's some truth in that. But you can see what I'm saying as far as our actions with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so next time we, in those compromising situations or whatever, you know, whatever it might be, you got to know you didn't leave them on, what's the street? What's the name of the street?
Somewhere.
Virginia Cove. You got to know you didn't leave them on Virginia Cove. He's where? He's with you.
I thought we were on Summer Avenue.
He's with you. Oh, that's off summer. Okay, 8. He says, verse 14, just going to cut this down here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the what? And if children, then
heirs.
And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also what? Now, that's key right there. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Well, wait a minute, Paul. You just said we were all what? Children of God, right? Didn't he just say that? He says, here's the difference. You know what they make? It's an expression that they say, this separates the men from the boys. And all this, what it means is, this is there's another verse in Ephesians that said this, grace be with all them that love our Lord in sincerity. That's peculiar, isn't it? Where Paul writing to all the believers, and he says, when I'm finishing up, he says, now, grace be to all you that love our Lord in sincerity. Well, you mean to say that some saints don't love him sincerely? What do you mean? You know, the first thing he would say, you love the Lord? Oh, yeah, sure. Do you love him sincerely? I might throw a hiccup in you on it. Like, what do you mean? I just said, yeah. He says, grace be, you know, if you really want to do this, if you really want to do it, he says, that's what I'm talking about. He says, if you really want to do it, he says, those are the ones that are led. So we got this information in front of us. That doesn't mean that you want to be led by the Spirit. Does it? I talk to every week. Did you read? No, I didn't read it this week, brother. What are we going to talk about? You just going to listen to me for an hour? You a deacon, man. When are you going to read this stuff? What are you telling them? What are you telling them? What are you reheating something? What? Are you going to go with this? You know, you come in, week, no notes, no pad, no nothing. Were you recall like that? He says, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? And he says, you can be an heir. And then he throws that little thing in there. You could be a joint heir with Christ. All right, here we go. Say we all heirs, right? Mm-hmm. They fighting over your grandmother's stuff right now.
A bunch of them tomorrow.
Now, watch this. I don't know who this was, but somebody just had a will, and they left. They says, I want so-and-so to get this. I want so-and-so to get this. And then they says, and for this lady, $1. She was an heir. But she wasn't a what? She wasn't a joint heir, because this was a millionaire. A joint heir means that what you got, I got. An heir is what I got, you get some of it. Right? Look, Abraham, did you know Abraham had 8 sons? Did you know he had 8 sons? Yeah, he had 8 sons. Watch this. Genesis.
He kept on keeping on.
He kept on keeping on, right? Look at Genesis. Chapter 22 and chapter 25. And then we're going to stop. I don't know how I got over there. 22 verse 1 and 2. Got that? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abram, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine what?
Only son
Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, what's wrong with that statement? What's wrong with that statement in our physical?
Only son.
Because he had what at the time?
Another.
Who was that?
His
Ishmael. In God's eyesight, how many sons did Abraham?
One of the prophets.
Why?
He was the
seed of what? Not of works. Ishmael was what? He was from the, and that's coming up. You remember that? It's coming up again. He's the woman. He's the child of the bond woman. He's the child by what? By performance, by works. He says, he can't be the heir. Got to get rid of it. Got send him away. He can't be the heir. Okay, 25. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanok, and Abida, and Elda, all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to who?
Isaac.
To Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts. And what? Sent them away from while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Now,
away from sin. Sin.
Oh no! Abraham knew that the inheritance was what? It was through Isaac. He says, "I got other sons." He says, "The son before him is what? He's gone. The sons after him, he blessed Ishmael, gave him something, sent him on his way. He was an heir. Mm-hmm. He blessed the other ones, gave them something, sent him on his way. Right here, I gave him everything. Now, Paul's trying to show the Galatians and us. He says, listen, God wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He needs you. I just say that loosely, though. He wants you to want to be an heir.
Do what now?
Oh. He wants you. He wants us to want to be an heir. That's why, look, as many as are led by the Spirit, he says, do you want this? Otherwise, I have to send you away. Not being lost either. Just that Paul said this. He says, if we suffer with him, we shall what? If we deny him,
he will not deny us, for he can't.
He abides faithful. He cannot what? That's in Timothy. And what he's, listen. How, you know what we have a problem is, this guy doesn't do anything. He can't be saved. Yes, he is. That's your hang up. That doesn't, he's just telling you that he doesn't want what?
To be a joint heir.
He doesn't want to be a joint heir. He's satisfied with what he has. That's all I need. God says, well, I'll leave you where you are. As far as you go, as far as I'll take you. My grace.
You're hitting the keyboard.
So, the thing is when he gets to the Galatians, he has to say, wake up. When you go back to the law, you just disqualified yourself. You're not even off square one yet. How can I take you higher when you're letting the man rob you? That's what he said to the Colossians. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward. That's where the principalities and powers and the dominions and the mights come in. And they say, man, don't read that stuff. You know that. You know that. You ain't never heard that. That can't be true.
I'm going to ask you something funny. Now, who you say wanted this to be a heir?
Heir. Paul and God. Paul and God wants you to be an heir.
God wants us to be a heir too.
Right.
I said, we got a problem.
We got problems. And see, that's the thing is,
I'm not a heir.
All that is designed, all this, I'll say this, all that, the scriptures, what it's designed for is to make you want it. When he starts talking about the grace of God and the exceeding riches of his grace, exceeding riches of his grace to us who believe, he's trying to get you to, you know what? Don't you want this? Don't you want part of this? That's why he'll say this. He says, now, I'm praying for you that you got it now. He says, I'm praying now that the Lord, that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That you might know what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding. And then he says that we might find out what is the exceeding riches and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And you're like, what is he talking about? He said, that's why I'm praying for you. Because I want you to want it. I want you to want to know it. And then when you get a glimpse of it, you won't look back. You won't look back, because you'll say, wow, he wants to do that with me? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? One day, you say, look at that guy. See that guy? That's Ed. Remember that? Remember that? Remember him? Yeah, look what I did. That's what he'll say. Wow. That's Sharpton? Wow. That's the guy that said, is it okay if I just want to want it? If I just want it really bad. So that's what he did with him? He said, yeah, that's what he did with him. Then he said, see her? That's Cindy. See that guy? That's Steve. Say, let me show you something else. Look over here. See that? That's Frank.
Oh, that little midget.
Frank Clarkston, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. I didn't hear what you said.
So, but for the Galatians,
you
can see why Paul was so concerned is because, and it's not just the principalities and powers was part of that too, where they used the Jews, the Judaizers, to come in and stop that growth process. What?
They never really appropriated all the blessings of grace.
They never got off square one in that. That's what it. They never. He says, "Who hath bewitched you? Who stopped your growth? Who told you that you could get it from here?" He says, "I travail in pain again until Christ be." He said, we got to start all over again. Till Christ be what?
Born.
He said, I don't even know if the seed, I don't even know if you got it. I'm not sure. He said, we can't go
forward.
Listen, even in the structure of it, he says, we can't even go to Corinth. Isn't that sad? The Corinthians had big time problems, didn't they? He says, I can't even go to this level because I don't even know if you got it. And when he gets to Corinthians, he said, y'all got a whole lot of problems, but I know you got saved. He said, now let's deal with that stuff. But do you see what I'm saying? That's why the information is so important.
So the wrestling with wickedness in spiritual places is that they're trying to keep us from knowing the true knowledge of Christ and what he did for us.
Exactly.
They're doing it in many cases through churches that mislead us into thinking we have to earn it ourselves.
Exactly. That's why Timothy,
the God of this world has blinded.
That they should not believe the glorious gospel. And Paul gets to Timothy. He said this. He says that beware. He said they are teaching doctrines of what? How? This man sits down. He doesn't know he's taking a text and it's a doctrine of the devil. But the minute he says, Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again. But
you gotta earn it.
Who is that coming from? Paul said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, you didn't get that from the Lord. So anyway, let's stop there. We'll pick it up. That's why it's taking us 24 lessons to go through Galatians.
Yeah, because we were just recapping this.
And it's, yeah, right. And we're still leaving stuff that we... Let's stop. Let's stop here.